If only you know the passion that I have for the homeless. And we'll go down with this two young ladies. And anybody who is interested, we fed the homeless in downtown. And let me tell you, they really, really, really need it. And so we are going to arrange, and we're going to tell you the day when we shall go down there. Amen? Are you ready to hear the word of God? Are you ready to hear the word of God? Amen. We are so very blessed this morning to have a man all the way from Botswana. He's a servant of the Lord. And I just looked at him and I said, wow, Bishop T.D. Jakes is here today, because they have a resemblance with Bishop T.D. Jakes. Yeah? The what? Praise be to God. And I am really, really honored, you know, for Pastor Karanja and also Pastor Mrs. Karanja for introducing Bishop McDonald to us. And let me tell you, you need to have your hearts receptive, because this man, I've been told about how the Lord has mightily, mightily used him. It is an honor actually for him to be in our house this morning. Amen? And so I would like to take this opportunity to welcome the man of God to the microphone. It's such an honor, and I'm humbled even to welcome you to come and bring the bread to us. God bless you. Can you invite him in? Hand clap.
Kind Father, this morning one more time, it is what an honor for us to be here in your presence, one with another, in fellowship, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table. We thank you, Father, for every man and woman, every boy and girl, mother and child, father and son. Thank you for what you're about to do in our lives. Thank you for the transition and the change that's about to take place. Thank you for big things becoming small in your presence. Large situations, oh God, dwindling and disappearing at the sound of your name. I thank you for this day in Jesus' name. And everybody say it, amen. Hallelujah. It is my honor personally to be here with you, precious saints. I walked in here. Israel, don't go. So good to see you. Praise God. I last saw this man when he was, I think, 8 or 9. And when Pastor told me that that's Israel, I was like, no, that's not Israel. That's a man right there. I've been to his dad's church in the town of Maun. That's about 500 kilometers from where I stay. Held some revival meetings for him there. And when I told him I was coming through, he says, please make sure that you see him and you look at him from top to bottom and see whether he's well. So I've looked at you from top to bottom. I can see you are well. So I'll bring a good report. Amen. Praise God. To my friend, the pastor of this awesome church, the shepherd of this sheep, and the bishop of this house, Pastor Tony, man, I walked in here and I loved you immediately, because I sense a spirit of intercession and prayer, which is what is lurking in the market today. Hallelujah. And I want to say thank you for your confidence in my ministry, meeting for the very first time, and then here you are bringing me up here. And you know, it's dangerous sometimes, but you know, when the Spirit of God is in you, you are able to discern things. Amen. I honor you so much with the First Lady. I don't know where she is, but I really give my honor to her. First thing I noticed in this house, it's okay for a man to sit far away from a woman. It's your house, eh? But in my house, amen. That's how Africa is. You don't do that, amen. Because there's some dangerous people out there, and you don't want to take chances, amen. You put on your ring and you make sure that it's all in place there. Hallelujah. But I want to really honor you so much. Say thank you so much for this. To my friend, my brother, Pastor Karanja, it's always good to see him. He never grows young. That's an opposite, amen. He's one guy that I've known for so many years. We've been to school together for so many years, and we graduated, and then God just led us in different paths. But after some few years, we crossed paths again, and then now we are back together. and doing great things for the kingdom of God. I foresee where we're going to have to travel and preach the kingdom like we always had dreams of while we were still at Bible school. So him and his wife Nancy have been so, so awesome and very nice to us. And I really thank God so much for him and his family, his two kids, beautiful kids, Christine and Eric. And I thank God that they have allowed me to stay in their mansion. And they treat me good. I've gained some few pounds and kgs while I was here. And I give glory to God. Please forgive me. It's my first time being here. So you allow me to talk a little bit. Is that okay? Before I start preaching. You all look so serious. And I mean, I'm getting scared right now. And praise God. But it's an honor to be here in this place to Pastor Enneth. My friend who picked me up from the airport in Dallas, Pastor Steve, amen. I was gravitating between Steve, Mike, and Ernest, but you know, it's because those names are so much him. So, but please forgive me. Pastor Steve, awesome. I assume that's your wife next to you. God richly bless you. And to all the elders and the pastors and the men and women of God that serve under this ministry, I greet you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to be very, very short. I'm tall, but I'm a very short preacher. Hallelujah. And in the words of Britney Spears to her last husband, I shan't keep you long. I'm going to read from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 21. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to pick up a couple of scriptures. And then after that, we shall go straight to the word. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Beginning to read from verse number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Beginning to read from verse number 6. If you don't have your Bible, we'll assume that you are not a member of this church you are visiting, so we'll not be so hard on you. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse numbers 1 to 6. Christians come to church with their Bibles. Amen. Pastor forgot his Bible. I'm letting him off the hook. Amen. He's a good man. From verse 1, the scriptures say, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. And year after year, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. And so the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sown protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites say to him, we will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us. So he said, whatever you say, I will do for you. Then they answered the king, as for the men who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel, let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose. Pronunciation is a matter of opinion. Whom the Lord chose. Hallelujah. And the king said, I will give them. Let me read also Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Help us, Lord. Proverbs 26, verse number 2. Like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. other versions would read, so a curse without cause will not remain. My last scripture reading, 2 Kings 3. I'm doing this so that I don't have to go back to the scriptures. I'll just make reference to them. 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 18 and 26. 2 Kings 3, 18. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. This is God speaking to the children of Israel, giving them a battle strategy before they even go out to war. And he says, I will give you this battle. I will deliver the Moabites into your hand. And verse number 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. There was a great indignation against Israel, so they departed from him and returned to their own land. For a few moments this morning, afternoon, we are going to look at the subject, breaking curses and bondages of inheritance. It's a long, lengthy topic, but I'm going to try to squeeze it in 30 to 40 minutes. Amen? Praise God. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Israel. You're looking handsome. Am I still single? Yeah. Gotcha. I like doing this to these guys. Scripture says a bird doesn't just wander. And a sparrow, when it flits, it's because there is a purpose. And then it begins to liken that analogy to a curse. The subject of curses has been so much dealt with in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. And it was not until a couple of years ago, I passed a church called Bible Life Ministries in the heart of Silibe Pikwe. By the grace of God, we have managed to plant other churches in that region, in the eastern part, and also beyond our country, Botswana. We have gone into Zimbabwe. We planted a church in Bulawayo. I've planted some 3 churches in the nation of India, and we are also influencing some churches in Cape Town and also some other countries within the Southern African region. And throughout my travels, most of the time, I encounter a lot of spiritual warfare in different atmospheres, in different homes, in different cities, in different churches. Different places. And it has always been the cry of my heart to have understanding as to the type of things that we deal with in the spiritual, so that we can understand how to respond in the natural. Because before anything can be able to manifest in the natural, it has to be first of all be established in the spiritual. Are we together so far? And when you, as a child of God, don't understand what is happening in the natural, it is high time for you to seek what goes on in the spiritual. Jesus prayed a prayer and he says, let your will which is in the heavens be done also here in the earth. Let that which is a plan and a given mandate in the spirit also manifest for us in the natural. What that means is that whatever has not been established by God in the spiritual, it must not manifest in the physical. Hello? Whatever is happening in the spiritual, will always manifest in the physical. If there is no activity in the spiritual, there is no activity in the natural. If nothing is going on in the spiritual, nothing is going on in the physical. And so, when you are cognizant of that fact as a child of God, then you have to understand now that for things to change in the natural, they first of all have to change in the spiritual. I wish I had an amen from the Roman Catholics on my left. For things to change in the spiritual, oh man, you have to like me. I mean, I like myself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when you are dealing with curses, you need to understand some few dynamics. When you are dealing with things that happen in the spiritual, you need to first of all understand how God has set a pattern for us already in the scriptures. Because some of us right now, we're at a place where we're dealing with things in the natural and we're trying to solve things in the natural, but we don't understand that the strong man in the spiritual is the one that is literally playing our ball. There is something beyond what you're going through right now. And if you can have an eye to just open the window and see what is going on in the spirit realm, the fight that is there for your life, your response will be different from now. Seasons are different. Somebody say after me, say seasons are different. And as a child of God, if you can understand the power of seasons, God gave us seasons so that you can be able to be taught on how to live and survive here on the earth. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, for as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease. These are seasons that are established by the order of God. These will never cease as long as the earth endureth. Why? Because in different seasons of your life, God wants you to do things differently. If you are the same in every season, let me rephrase that. If your prayer life is the same in every season, it is a sign that you don't know what season you are in. Because at different seasons of your life, God will require you to do things differently. In Africa right now, back home where I come from, we're in a season of winter. And during the season of winter, you have to put on some winter clothes because the season requires of you to do that. If I become a strong man and I say I'm a man of God and seasons don't affect me, and I put on my vest and my shorts and I begin to walk in town with vest and shorts, in winter will kill me. I will die of pneumonia. Anointed, Holy Ghost filled, baptized and everything, I will die of pneumonia. Because you do not contradict season when it is the season, when it is the time for that to manifest. I could right there just begin to talk and say to you that when your season comes, nobody can be able to oppose you. Whew. Can I hear an amen from the Baptist behind? When your season comes, nobody can be able to stop you. Can you nudge your neighbor and say, when your season comes, no one can stop you? You become unstoppable in your season. When God opens a door and says, walk through this door, it doesn't matter what devil is up against you. It doesn't matter what witch is up against you. When God says, this door is open, walk in. You walk in there and ask questions later. Can I hear an amen? And so dealing with curses, dealing with, oh God, I'm trying to get into this thing. Scripture says when a curse is released, it knows exactly where it is going. It knows exactly where it is going. And the things that we deal with in the natural are a sign of things that are happening in the spirit world. And so I want you to see here a pattern of how, as a child of God, you can be able to understand the dynamics of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 3 from verse 18, the Bible says, a famine comes during the time and the reign of David the king. And David the king goes to God and seeks the face of God. And he says to God, why is there a famine in this land? Am I not a righteous king? Have I not done what you have said I should do? Have I not walked holy? Have I not been faithful to you? And God says, you have been everything that I wanted you to be. And then David says, but then why is there a curse of this famine that has been released in this land at this particular time? And this bothers David so much until God begins to answer him. And he says, the reason why the curse of famine has come, it is not because of you. It is not because you have done anything wrong. But it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house. When they killed the Gibeonites, people that Israel had a covenant with, people that Israel, whether through knowledge or ignorance, somehow they got into covenant with. Covenant is so strange and yet so powerful. Because when you get into it, whether you understand or you don't understand, the consequences are still the same. Hello? Can I hear an amen from the Baptists and the Presbyterians behind there? Hallelujah. Covenant is so powerful. Even if you don't understand, you get married to somebody and that's a covenant, you can't wake up tomorrow and say, I think I made a mistake. Too late. Hallelujah. You should have made your mistake before you came to the altar. Hallelujah. But the minute you get into covenant, it's done. It's recorded in the spirit, and in the natural, it must be. So you deal with the consequences. Somebody say, ouch. Now, God here says, the Israelites made a covenant with the Gibeonites, who wanted protection from them. And when they sought protection from them, and they came and deceptively said, we are far away and we have come here and you know you protect us, and then the Israelites said, okay, we'll protect you, and then only to discover that actually the Gibeonites were not their neighbors, and then that's where we've set the covenant, there's no way we can go back to our word. But to cut the long story short, they are in covenant now, and then Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, he breaks covenant and he kills the Gibeonites. Watch this now. The curse of the blood of the Gibeonites does not manifest in the time of Saul. It only manifests later on when David has become king. Which shows me here that, but as a child of God, there are some things that are probably happening in your life. And you are wondering, why are these things happening now? Why is there that attack that's coming against my life now? Why is it that there is such a strong force coming against me now, when I am at a place where all I know I am doing is the right thing? Somebody say, I'm doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. You are going to the right places. You are saying the right prayers. And you are reading the right scriptures. But somehow, it looks like you are facing an opposition that you don't understand. You are facing things that when you look at naturally, it's like there is things that happen in a nation. When you look back, you are saying, but what did we do as a nation? Did we not repent of everything? Did we not repent of our idol worship? Did we not seek after God? Did we not do this? Did we not that? But somehow things just happen and we don't understand why. And David was in this situation here where he says, I don't understand why this famine has got to be like this. And God says, it is because something happened in your past before you came in the scene. And now that thing has been released and it knows exactly what it is coming for. When a curse is released, it knows why and how and what it is coming for. And it is when these things begin to happen that your antenna in the spirit realm must be raised up, so that you can begin to look and begin to see and say, there is something that has got to cause this level of warfare to be happening in my life at this time. And David comes over and God says, because Saul has killed the Gibeonites. So he goes over to the Gibeonites and he says, this is what the Lord has told me happened. What is it that I can do to reverse the curse?
And the Bible says the Gibeonites say we don't want anything except seven of Saul's sons. Hallelujah. And they took the seven of Saul's sons and they hung them upside down and they killed them. And the Bible says after that the case was reversed. Peace came into the land. The thing that my passion is for, especially in those situations and people that are having situations which they don't understand, is that there is something that happens when you are dealing with a curse that if you're not aware of, the curse is going to overwhelm you. Because God promised, oh man, I'm trying to be cool. I'm trying to be a good boy. Amen. Now listen to this. God is a legal God. Say after me, say God is a legal God. What that means is that whatever is done in the legal realms of the natural, God honors it. And then that begins to change the atmosphere in the spirit. For it to have rain on the earth, there has to be a process that takes place. We all know, we've been to school, we know our geography very well. There is first of all the heat that comes, hits the ground, hits the lake or things like that. And then there's a vapor rises up, it forms that cloud called a cumulonimbus cloud. I'm not a white man, as you can see, English is my second language. I'm from Africa. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so that cloud, when it is formed, it begins now to break when current meets, I don't know, somewhere there, negative, positive. And then I'm trying to remember my geography. It was a long time ago. And then the rain comes. But the process is that something must rise from the earth for rain to come. So if something is going to break in the spirit to cause something to happen in the natural, there has to be something that rises up from the, oh God, from the natural into the spirit to cause the spirit to begin to give forth its rain. If you are going to change what's going to happen or what's happening in your life right now, there is something that you must begin to rise up. There is some vapor that's supposed to rise up. There is some form of prayer, some level of prayer that you begin to engage yourself in. That's why when I get in here and I found the man of God is the one that is leading the sheep in prayer, then I said, that's it. I'm in the right house. I'm in the right place, because I know whenever prayer atmosphere is set, there is no devil. Hallelujah. Problem with many of us is that we don't pray. Ooh, let me not even go there. Because I can see the guilt in your faces. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. A superior curse has more power than a lesser blessing. A superior curse has more power than a lesser blessing. I'll say that footy again. A superior curse has more power than a lesser blessing. In the scriptures I read to you, a man called, what's his name? Forgot his name. I remember his name now. Hallelujah. The king of Moab. The king of Moab. See, sometimes you look at us as preachers and think we know everything. There are things we don't know. And I'm not the type of preacher who stand and lie to you and say, I know when I don't know. So I tell you I don't know so that I know, and then we know that I don't know. Amen. So the king of Moab, the Bible says that he sees that the battle is too much for him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that before then, the children of Israel had been promised victory. God says, I'm giving you this battle. You are going to win it. This is your victory plan. This is what you must do. And the Bible says they marched against the king of Moab and they defeated the king of Moab. And when the king of Moab sees that the battle is too strong for him, look at what he does. Bible says that he takes 200 men with swords and he tries to defend, but the battle becomes even more serious. And then finally, verse 27 of 2 Kings chapter 3, he takes his eldest son, the one that was supposed to be king after him, He takes that boy and he sacrifices him in a demonic reprisal. And he says, let there be wickedness that raise against the children of Israel as a result of this sacrifice. And the Bible says there in verse 27 that there was great indignation against Israel. In other words, they began to deal with demonic spiritual forces that they'd never seen in their lives. And the Bible says, so they departed from him and returned to their own land. In other words, they left him alone because of the demonic forces that were. They were given a promise by God that you shall defeat the Moabites. But as a result of this superior sacrifice that was released against them, the lesser blessing was no match for a superior curse. The lesser blessing had no power over the superior curse. In other words, the children of Israel made a mistake into assuming that they had been given a promise. It meant that everything was going to go well for them. What they didn't understand was that whenever in the spirit realm there is a power curse, there is a superior curse that gets released against you, if you are going to defend your goods, you need to be able to offer up a more superior blessing to curb that superior curse. Because it, oh my God, if you have got a superior curse against you and all that you're offering is 2-minute prayers, if you have got the whole hell breaking up against you and all that you're offering is thank you Jesus prayers, you are joking. You don't know what you're up against. Because when hell comes against you, it is time for you to begin to raise up the level. For when the spirit, oh my God, hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of God must raise up a standard against him. If you don't raise up a standard against that which has been assigned against you, the enemy shall have victory. If you don't raise up a standard, a proper standard, the enemy is going to rout you and you shall wonder why. Because God in the natural realm, he has established that you have the power to control what happens in the spirit. Somebody shout, I have the power. Somebody shout again, I have the power. You have the power. You have the superior power. When the enemy offers up another sacrifice, you can offer up something more similar and even more powerful. For every level, you have to match it up. My God. You have to match up what the enemy is sending against you. Why? Because the Bible says that our warfare is not carnal. And our weapons are not carnal. But they are mighty through God for the breaking down of strongholds. In the name of Jesus. And so when you begin to understand curses are released by agents. Curses are released by agents. Number one, God releases curses. Please check with me. God releases curses. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 17, the Bible says God cursed the ground on account of man's sin. And he says, cursed be the ground because of you. Hallelujah. So God releases curses. And he released the curse on the ground. So much that he says, through the sweat of your brow, you shall have your bread. If you don't sweat, you will not eat. If a man will not work, let him not. That's not me. That's the Bible. There's even a whole book dedicated to work. The book of Job. Amen. Please, let not intimidate anybody. Praise God. But the Bible says that God releases curses. And secondly, disobedience to the word of God releases a curse. And for any type of curse to be able to have a manifestation, some or one of these has to be at play. When you disobey a direct word of God, which you know is true for you, and then you disobey that, what you are doing is you are releasing a curse to come on your life. Jeremiah 11 verse 3. Jeremiah 11 verse 3. Disobedience to the word of God releases a curse. Jeremiah 11 verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says. And say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not what? Cursed be the man that heareth not the words of this covenant. My vision says, cursed be the man who does not obey the words of this covenant. Anytime when you don't obey the direct word, written logos word of God, you release a curse to come upon you. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, 28, 29, the Bible says, and these blessings shall come on you. If you what? If you obey. And these blessings shall come on your life. If you obey, you shall be blessed in the city. You shall be blessed in the country. You shall be blessed when you come in, and you shall be blessed when you go out. Whatever your hands find to do, it shall be blessed. Why? Because when you obey the words of the covenant, the blessing comes your way. And then later on it says, but these curses shall also come if you do not obey. Hallelujah. You shall be cursed in the country, and you shall be cursed in the city. Your basket shall be cursed. Your house shall be cursed. Even the cockroaches that find themselves in your house shall be cursed. Whatever you find to do, it shall be cursed. Hallelujah. Whether you go to where, you shall be cursed. Why? Because if you don't obey the words of this covenant, the curse is released against you. That's why I feel pity for people who deliberately disobey. Hallelujah. When it comes to the matter of giving and releasing, there is nothing that enforces the curse than not paying tithe. Whew, it's quiet in the house of Jehovah. I think it's because I'm hitting the nail on the head. Hallelujah. Anytime when you don't do what the word of God says, a curse is released against you. The book of Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says you are cursed. The whole lot of you, you are cursed. Why? Because every time when I want to bless you, my hands are tied. You have not untied my hands through your giving. That's what tithe does. Tithe unties the hand of God. Tithe releases the blessing to come. Tithe causes God to do what he could not even have done. In your own strength, you could not have done. Tithe releases heavens to open up. Because it is an ordinance of God. If you don't tithe, the Bible says, then the locusts shall come. Locusts are representative of spiritual wickedness, demonic powers that have got access to your money, to your health, to everything that is connected to you. Whatever you do does not prosper. You try to look for work, nothing. They fire you from the job. Your kids get sick. Everything is haywire. People are dying everywhere, and you have to keep pumping money to support here and support there and support there. Why? Because you are living under a curse. When a curse is released as a result of disobedience, even us as preachers, even if we try to lay hands on you, God looks up at heaven and says, what are you doing? You are blessing, trying to bless which I have cursed. Nothing will happen. We'll lay hands on you, you fall, you come back again, you do it again. Every preacher comes, every prophet and apostle and deacon and apostle and everybody comes, you still be the same. Why? Because the curse is there. Hallelujah. And the only thing that can release the curse, the only thing that can release the curse to work in your life is your disobedience. Bible says, if any man comes out of the hedge, the snake will bite him. In the book of Job. The snake represents demonic powers of darkness. Anytime when you come out of the will of God, the snake is ready to bite. Can I hear an amen from somewhere? Anytime when you remove yourself from the place of covering, a snake is getting ready to bite you. This is where you are supposed to be. Slap your neighbor and tell them, stay in the house. Slap somebody else who looks less boring and tell them, stay in the house. Whatever happens, you stay in the house. Whatever happens, stay in the house of God. One thing have I desired, and this thing will I sought, seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the place to be. Whatever happens to you, I don't care whether people step on your big cones. I don't care whether people say stuff against you. I don't know what happens in your own. You stay in the house. You stay in the house. You stay under the covering. You stay in church. There is a call of God that I hear, men of God, all over the world I go. There is a call that God is calling out for people to become strong in faith. For the church to become strong in faith. May God help us and give us people that are strong in the inside. People that will not be moved no matter what. People that will refuse to be moved and say, this is my dwelling place. This is the only place which I know God has appointed me to be. I am going to sit here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to fit in here until I flourish. I'm going nowhere. Oh my God. Can I preach up in here? Slap your neighbor and tell them I'm staying up in here. Tell them I'm staying here. No matter what happens, I'm staying here. Even if you offend me, you will find me here again on Sunday. Even if you talk stuff about me, you will find me here again on Sunday. Why? Because this is my appointed place of blessing. I refuse to be moved. The devil and his mother-in-law can go to H.E. Double Tooth Pizza. This is where I'm staying. I'm going nowhere. God, I'm staying here. This is my place of blessing. This is my place of appointment. I am going to stay in the house. Prodigal son, hear me. Stay in the house. That's where your blessing is. That's where your anointing is. That's where your place of pleasure is. Stay in the house. If you come out of the house, the devil is waiting to get you. Stay in the house. Somebody shall stay in the house. Whatever happens, you stay in the house. Young people, listen to me. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. The power of God is working in your life. Stay in the house. Elders, listen to me. Stay in the house. This is your place of appointment. Stay in the house. This is your only place of covering. Once you come out, the snake is getting ready to bite you. Hallelujah. Number three, generational and familiar curses. They are released by agents. Number four, iniquitous patterns. I'm trying to hurry up here. Iniquitous patterns or transgressions. These are willful actions against the word of God. Iniquitous patterns. These are perversions. I can't dwell much on that. You live in the United States of America. You know what perversions are. God is calling for a church that shall understand that you are different. I said you are different. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, but you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, being called forth to show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What type of light is it that doesn't shine in a place of darkness? In this very place where there is darkness, God wants you to shine as a good example. Much of the church today is being influenced by the world. Instead of the church influencing the world is coming into church to influence what we are going to play, to influence how we shall look, to influence our style, to influence everything. That's not the order of God. That's the order of man. The order of God is that they are supposed to look at us and say, how do you do that? How do you keep your marriages together when 50% of marriages are ending up in divorce? How do you do that? How do you keep your kids? How do you get all these things happening? What the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple shall be raised up above every mountain. And nations, not just peoples, but nations shall flock to it. And they shall say, come, teach us the ways of the Lord. Teach us the way. Teach us how you do that. Teach us how you do that. Teach us. Because we are supposed to be examples. Light shining in places of darkness. God is calling you to be a light in that school. God is calling you to be a light in that office. God is calling you to be a light in this city where people are going to look at you and they shall say, I want to be like you. Because of the way you live, the way you talk, the way you carry out your life. Your life is so attractive. It's a problem when the church is becoming more like the world. Hallelujah. We are supposed to understand that we are different. The man of God was praying against lesbianism and gayism. I don't know whether it's right. Gayism. Hallelujah. And all the perversions that we are seeing in these end times. And people are tolerating and say, well, it's the times. No, it's not the times, it's men's perversion. The Bible says in the book of Romans that because of their perversions, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. It is a problem and God gives you over. Hallelujah. The greatest enemy is the enemy that is in you. Hallelujah. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. I said, may God have mercy on us. May God not give us over. Because the day God gives you over to what you want, destruction is a trail. We need to go back to proper marriages. You know, in Africa, you just meet a girl in the bar, you take her into the house, and you say, from today, you are my wife. I know it happens in Kenya. So don't look at me with that face. Hallelujah. No marriage, no nothing. Not in the church. In the church, we walk down the aisle in the sight of everybody. Hello? In the church, we walk down the aisle and we put a ring on each other. From today, I take you and you take me. We are husband and wife. And the pastor says, I give you blessings. And everybody goes, woo, woo, woo. Then from today onwards, you are released. You can go home and do whatever thou wantest. But before then, it is sin to stay with somebody that you are not married to. Loud and clear, it is sin. It's wrong. If you love him too much, if you love her so much, why don't you marry them? You can't want to enjoy both worlds, married world and single world at the same time. You will confuse yourself and confuse us. Hallelujah. You have to do it the proper way. You can't be a Christian and then after church service on Sunday evening, you are found in the clubs also. Going down and going up. And when you are in church here, you never go down and you never go up. Hypocrite. Hallelujah. In the world, you are the greatest one. When you are in the dance floor, they can't even see you because you disappear on the floor. In church here, when you are putting praise and worship, you are thus there, standing indifferent, looking like you are lost. Why? Because your heart is never here. Your heart is in the world where you belong. Repent in the name of Jesus. You can't kick it in the church and kick it in the club. It doesn't happen like that. Either you are born again or you are not. Either you are hot or you are cold. Either you are a child of God or you are a child of the devil. You can't be in between. There is no colored in the kingdom of God. Either you are a Christian or you are not. And the sooner you make yourself known is the better. Hallelujah. Either you fear God or you don't. You have to make your mind up. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ himself says, I wish I knew where you were. Whether you are either cold or you are hot. Now you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth.